Hi, this is Robin's dad, Jim O'Neill, and you're listening to Back Issues of
Me Reading Stuff.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. How are you? I'm fine. The Santa Ana winds blew in, and holy God, I was just looking out on the balcony with my cat, and suddenly one piece of popcorn flew up on it. It was pretty crazy. Anyway, I'm tired. I'm busy. Way too busy. I think I've socialized more in the last week than I have in the last 8 years or something. And normally I only socialize. I kind of have to make a point to only socialize once a week tops. It's just how I have to do it. Otherwise, I get weird. And so this has been like many times a day, several days in a row. And it's... I don't know. It's just hard for me. No matter how much fun I'm having, it's just difficult. I just told my friend Stephanie last night that I love this quote by Patricia Highsmith, who I've talked about on here many times. I can't remember if I've read her. She doesn't have anything really short form for me to read. But anyway, Patricia Highsmith said, "My imagination functions better when I don't have to speak to people." And that's her thing. I mean, actually, the more now that I say that out loud, I love it and I get it, but it's different. It's different for me. It's not just about my imagination. It's just, it just messes with me. I learned this from a friend a long time ago about the difference between an introvert and an extrovert. Some definitions refer to it as an extrovert is someone who gets energy from people, and an introvert is someone who gets kind of sucked dry by people or gets their energy from not being with people. Let's just say that. I'm not saying this very well, but I'm for sure an introvert in that way, even though if you caught me around people, I'm extremely friendly and I talk and I converse and I do what I'm supposed to do. But it doesn't feed me the way it does other people at all. And I don't mean that as it does one-on-one, actually, it is that way. But groups of people, that's very difficult for me. Again, though you would never tell. All right, forget me. How about Ann Carson? All right, I've read Ann Carson on here before. I don't remember what I read, but I know I didn't read from one of my favorite books of all time in my top five. That's right, Autobiography of Red. It is a novel in verse, so it's placed under fiction and poetry. Ann Carson, if you don't know, she was born in 1950. She's still alive. I hope she lives forever. She's one of the greatest writers alive, in my opinion. You can buy this book, by the way, vintagebooks.com, Autobiography of Red. So if it's in my top five, I've mentioned another in my top five is Carson McCullers' The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. And many of you have bought it and read it and told me about that. And that makes me so happy. And so this is another in my top five, Ann Carson's book. I swear, not everyone in my top five has the name Carson in their name somewhere. But all right, let me look at what we're going to read. So just to be brief, Autobiography of Red is the story of a young man. You first see him as a young boy who is also a winged red monster. And that's all I'll say before I read this little section. This is chapter 27, Mittwelt. There is no person without a world. The red monster sat at a corner table of Cafe Mittwelt, writing bits of Heidegger on the postcards he'd bought. Sie sind das, was betreiben. There are many Germans in Buenos Aires. They are all soccer players. The weather is lovely. Wish you were here, Gerion, he wrote to his brother, now a sportscaster at a radio station on the mainland. Over at the end of the bar, near the whiskey bottles, Gerion saw a waiter speaking to another behind his hand. He supposed they would soon throw him out. Could they tell from the angle of his body, from the way his hand moved, that he was writing German, not Spanish? It was likely illegal. Gerion had been studying German philosophy at college for the past 3 years. The waiters doubtless knew this, too. He shifted his upper back muscles inside the huge overcoat, tightening his wings, and turned over another postcard. Zum verlorenen Ohren. There are many Germans in Buenos Aires. They are all psychoanalysts. The weather is lovely. Wish you were here. Geryon, he wrote to his philosophy professor. But now he noticed one of the waiters coming towards him. A cold spray of fear shot across his lungs. He rummaged inside himself for Spanish phrases. Please do not call the police. What did Spanish sound like? He could not recall a single word of it. German irregular verbs were marching across his mind as the waiter drew up at his table and stood, a brilliant white towel draped on his forearm, leaning slightly towards Geryon. Aufwärts, abwärts, rückwärts, vorwärts, auswärts, einwärts swam crazy circles around each other while Geryon watched the waiter extract a coffee cup smoothly from the debris of postcards covering the table and straighten his towel as he asked in perfect English, would the gentleman like another espresso? But Geryon was already blundering to his feet with the postcards in one hand, coins dropping on the tablecloth, and he went crashing out. It was not the fear of ridicule to which everyday life as a winged red person had accommodated Geryon early in life, but this blank desertion of his own mind that threw him into despair. Perhaps he was mad. In the seventh grade, he had done a science project on this worry. It was the year he began to wonder about the noise that colors make. Roses came roaring across the garden at him. He lay on his bed at night, listening to the silver light of stars crashing against the window screen. Most of those he interviewed for the science project had to admit they did not hear the cries of the roses being burned alive in the noonday sun. Like horses, Geryon would say hopefully, like horses in war. No, they shook their heads. Why is grass called blades? He asked them. Isn't it because of the clicking? They stared at him. You should be interviewing roses, not people, said the science teacher. Geryon liked this idea. The last page of his project was a photograph of his mother's rosebush under the kitchen window. Four of the roses were on fire. They stood up straight and pure on the stalk, gripping the dark like prophets and howling colossal intimacies from the back of their fused throats. Didn't your mother mind, Signor? Something solid landed against his back. Geryon had come to a dead halt in the middle of a sidewalk in Buenos Aires with people flooding around his big overcoat on every side. People, thought Geryon, for whom life is a marvelous adventure. He moved off into the tragic comedy of the crowd. Well, I hope that convinced you. It was really hard to find what I wanted to read, but out of this book, it's so... There's nothing like it. It's odd, and it's accessible, and you'll never forget it. There are so many scenes with his mom that I don't know why they run through my head constantly. So anyway, enough about all of that. You'll buy it. You'll love it. You love me. I love you. I want to give a shout out to a couple of people. I got a few reviews, and I cannot thank you enough. One of them even quoted Dave Hickey from Air Guitar. So Echoes Myron, thank you so much. What a beautiful review. That meant a lot to me. And something L something Temple Street. Thank you. Brief, beautiful. Loved the review. Max Jeremo, who I happen to know for a fact is a certified genius, gave me a review. So that makes me happy. I don't know all of you. I know some of you, but I am really appreciative of your reviews. I'm also appreciative if you guys hit subscribe. That's a big deal as well. So if you haven't subscribed, if you're just listening occasionally, that's obviously great. I've got no problem with it, but I would love it if you would hit subscribe. I hope everyone's doing well. I want you to protect yourselves from harm. I want you to take care of your mental health. I want you to drink water. If I sound a little down, it's because I'm back on drinking room temperature water with 18 drops of chlorophyll and a half a lemon squeezed into it. That means I'm sick. That means I'm unhappy. So that's what's going on with me. I'm not drinking coffee is what I'm saying. It kills me. It makes me want to die. So to that, to getting well, to love, to hope, to strength, have a good one. Have a good week. Talk to you on Thursday. Bye-bye.